Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria.
We are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Que te vas y no sabes el dolor que has dejado justo en mí. Te has llevado la ilusión de que un día tú serás solamente para mí o para mí. Muchas cosas han pasado, mucho tiempo fue la duda y el rencor que despertamos al ver que no nos queríamos. No, ya no, ya no nos queríamos. Oh, no. Y ahora estás tú sin mí. ¿Y qué hago con mi amor? El que era para ti y con toda la ilusión de que un día tú fueras solamente para mí o para mí. Hoy comprendo, puedo ver que el amor que un día yo te di lo ha llenado tu interior y es por eso que te vas alejándote de mí y sin mirar hacia atrás, hacia atrás. Pero yo, corazón, entendí en el tiempo que pasó que no nos servía ya la locura de este amor que un día sí se fue y que nunca más volvió, no volvió. Y ahora está
another episode of Mirror Voices. My name is Michelle and I'm here with Mariana and Hannah. How are you feeling today, guys?
I'm good, yeah.
It's another kind of rainy, drizzly day in Bogota.
But I love it. I'm so happy with this weather. More than in a sunny day.
I agree.
And we had a nice 3-day weekend, which is always great.
That was
holiday.
Amazing.
How was your amazing first Pride in Bogota?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I really loved it. I really loved how people showed up. Like, there were so many people, and how people were so happy, mm-hmm. and how people, like, were dressed, like, sort of, like, yeah. to impress. Like, they put out all the stops. Mm-hmm. I was so amazed. It was amazing for me. Even though, almost at the end, someone almost robbed my friend, which was traumatic, but I'm
happy. Almost being
yeah.
the keyword.
Keyword almost, because it would have been a sad day, but at least it wasn't like that. It was amazing. I felt so grateful being here, experiencing Pride, and I have to say, Colombians do it better. It was amazing. I really enjoyed myself. All the colors, all the songs, the dances, the drums, the everything. It was amazing, really.
Yeah. I guess it's important here, no, when it's a lot of people, you need to take care of everything.
True.
Because you never know what happened or who it's next to you.
That
so I guess
true.
Maybe your friend is not, like, so careful. It's like when you're being not just in Pride, in mm-hmm. National Straight, it's yeah. normally that you know you need to take care of everything, not just your phone, everything that do you have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like take care of everything because in any moment can happen. Not obviously not your friend.
That
I know
true.
That other people was robbed in the Pride.
Wow.
So it's difficult.
It's terrible. I feel like there are actually people who intentionally went there just to steal
yeah.
from people. Mm-hmm. Because the way it happened, it was like a strategy that was taking place. Like mm-hmm. they were sort of crowding us so that we would not be left with any space to move or to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what annoyed me the most was when she grabbed the guy and the guy gave her her phone, the guy was smiling and I was like, why are you smiling?
Yep.
You're a thief. You were literally trying to steal from this girl. Why are you smiling? It was...
Yeah, the people is bad.
Psychotic
so.
Behavior. But I do understand, because even on a normal day, we know yeah. we're in Bogota, we have to be careful with our devices and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Even I actually asked a couple of friends before I went to the match if it was okay to go with the phone.
Mm.
And then people were like, it is okay. It's not like really, really okay. It's like a normal day. You just have to be careful with it if
yeah.
you mm-hmm. decide to go with it to the match.
That's true.
But well, enough about Pride. Today, we're talking about homelessness in our program for today. I don't know. Has either of you had an experience with a homeless person that you'd like to share?
Well, here, it's, like, difficult
mm-hmm.
because there like a lot of homeless that it's not so kind with the
okay,
people.
Okay.
So normally more the people that be in like homelessness
mm-hmm.
is because they're addicted to drugs. Not
okay.
in all case, but it's
mm-hmm.
more common. So in like some parts of Bogota, some people homeless consuming drugs
mm-hmm.
but also there's people that just live in the street but don't like have contact with other people because
mm-hmm.
the people in not just in the street or in the Transmilenio
mm-hmm.
saw a person like a homeless and in the right moment it's believed that person is gonna rob me and that's like a little ugly with that people because
mm-hmm.
sometimes they just take the Transmilenio and no more.
Okay.
But for a lot of people, it's so uncomfortable. More because the smell,
mm-hmm.
it's not so
mm-hmm.
good.
True.
Because they don't have the opportunity to take a shower. So
mm.
I remember a moment when a homeless start fighting with a people in
okay.
the Transmilenio.
Mm-hmm.
And no reason, just start fighting because the people look at him and take the phone in the back.
Oh.
And in the like the exactly moment that person go inside
mm.
to the Transmilenio, the man was like, oh my God, no. So obviously the homeless are like violent.
Understood. And I feel like it's not only a case in Colombia, it could be in all over the world. I remember this one time when I was in Harare, back home, I had just bought a brand new set of headphones, pretty white, and I was like, oh, I'm going to be listening to music, walking on my way to get a lift to go home. And this homeless guy, in my country we call them street kids, for lack of a better word. There are no street adults, we just call them street kids, all of them. But then this guy walks up to me, I feel like I was a mark, because he literally came, grabbed my headphones and put them in his pants. And I was so traumatized. And then people were like, oh my God, like, they stole from her. You know how people are, like, her headphones got stolen. And I was left with a box and a charger. And I was like, oh my God. I was so heartbroken because I was really excited that finally I could afford to buy Sony headphones because they were expensive at the time. But then that's another experience. And then I remember this other time I was coming home from work and there's this like traffic light where some of these street kids hang out, which is dangerous. Usually when people walk in that area, they walk very fast because they don't want to interact with them or do anything. So there I was walking home, swinging my umbrella, and then one of these kids grabs my umbrella and runs. And I'm like, okay. So luckily, there was this guy who was, well, walking beside me. And then he was like, give me that umbrella. Come back with that umbrella. And I guess the kid was shocked, and then he returned with the umbrella. But in my mind, I was like, should I take the umbrella or should I leave it? It was so terrible. So I do understand what you mean. Like, homeless people usually are violent, and they tend to associate with drugs and stuff like that, because it's the same even in my home country, because we have people who smoke. I think it's called glue. I don't know how it works, but there are people who are addicted to that. I don't know, Hannah, if you have anything to share in relation to this.
I'd say those are common, but I think it also tends to be like a stereotype of homeless people.
True.
Because people can find themselves living on the streets for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
My church back home in New York City did a women's shelter a couple nights a week. Because it's also really important for women in those situations to have like a safe place to sleep. Obviously there's a lot of like danger of being out on the street and being a woman and being alone and being a target for sexual violence. And so they would have volunteers like cook the dinner. So they would have, you know, dinner for the people who came to stay, and then they would have the beds there and people and a few people to stay to kind of help out with whatever. And so I know a few times my mom volunteered to like bring dinner or something, and we would sit and, you know, have dinner with the people who were attending, and they, I remember one time she made these like turkey meatballs, which was like a staple in our house, like a common like warm comforting meal. And they were talking about how thankful they were for like a nice home cooked meal, something that they haven't had in a long time, or something that they were really appreciative of. Which I really, I don't know, that memory when I was a kid, because I was a kid at that time, kind of stuck with me of like, oh yeah, everyone deserves a nice home-cooked hot meal on a cold night.
Speaking of stereotypes, I have, today I'm going to be talking about phases that perpetuate the negativity surrounding people experiencing homelessness and the truth behind them. So the first one is homeless people are dirty. Without regular access to bathing facilities, cleanliness proves to be a challenge. However, people who are experiencing homelessness struggle with the health concerns related to hygiene. By providing access to clean water and personal hygiene products, we can positively impact their mental health and physical health.
Yeah, one of my best friends is a librarian in Brooklyn. And she would talk about, like, it's a public library, so, like, everyone is invited to come in and join, and especially, like, during the summer, libraries often are, like, a cool air-conditioned place when there's a lot of heat outside, and that a lot of homeless people come off the street, use the facilities in the library to try to clean, clean, and she's like, yeah, it happens, but, you know, that's also kind of why we're here. Like, this is a public space and a place where, like, people should have access to water, to soap, to, you know, paper towels, to things, like, to get themselves clean.
That is true, and it's actually amazing that people were welcoming to people like that in that community, because I know that usually in most cases when people see homeless people walking in certain facilities, there's a certain stigma or I don't want to be close to them, they probably smell bad, that type of situation. So it was really amazing that they have that space. And then the other one is homeless people are scam artists. People who are experiencing homelessness must do what they can to survive. The majority of those who ask for money are not trying to scam anyone. Rather, they are simply trying to put food in their bellies. Hmm. What do you think about this one?
I think, it is a necessity. around here in our neighborhood, there's obviously people on the street that ask for money or for food. If you're, you know, at the bakery, there's almost always someone out on the corner asking for a coffee or bread or something. And I think we are, depending on your culture, often we're kind of raised to, like, don't interact, don't, talk to people. It could be dangerous. Don't give money. And I always kind of question, like, I mean, yes, and I understand, but also, like, you have to eat, and then you're kind of always in the situation of, like, oh, I'm not sure what the right thing to do here is.
I know.
Yeah, it's difficult. Like, here in Bogota, it's more common that the homeless not go to restaurants, something like that, and actually, it's, like, a little uncomfortable, because you know that person be violent in more in the case. That's something that happened here a lot of in Bogota. Obviously, there's people that trying to help, but obviously, when you help, there's other people that ask you, why are you helping them? And it's like, not just uncomfortable, like, the situation. It's because you, or any moment, listen, other person, like, asking you, why are you doing that? Or more in the case, the person that were in the restaurant tell, like, no, go. It's like, well, here, it's like when you said something to a dog, like, fuera. It's something like that. So it's, like, uncomfortable in different situations. But I have a friend that sometimes they give bread to these homeless, and some of them is like, no, I don't want to. So it's like, you help or not help. So it's difficult to know what you are going to do.
I know, it's a dilemma, especially considering the fact that most people, you never know what they're going to use the money for. You'll be doing it out of the kindness of your heart, thinking they're going to get food, but they may maybe, you know, go and buy drugs and stuff, which is why my dad always told me that if you want to help people in the street, it's better to buy them food, not give them money. Because he always told me a story about how he gave one of the homeless people money in the street, and then he met them on the next street buying drugs, and then he's like, I thought you were going to buy food.
Yeah, it's difficult.
And here you are.
Yeah. Sometimes this here happened the same. And actually, in the Transmilenio, there's people, like, going to trying to get money. But if you not give anything, it's, like, front of you, fighting with you. Like, you need to give money if you want or not. So sometimes it's, like, well, in my case, I know how to
handle them.
Yeah, like, how to treat them, because I be in Transmilenio every day for, like, a lot of years ago. But there's obviously people that is scared so much. And what the man or the woman saw, the fear, like, go with that person. So it's like trying to pick home. If you have money and you feel comfortable, give it. If not, it's okay. It's not your responsibility to.
Now I'm worried about traveling on my own, but okay. And then the other one I have is homeless people are violent criminals. The reality is that most people who are experiencing homelessness are more likely to be the victims of violence rather than perpetrators.
Well, sometimes here that happen because more in the violence be like outside to the big cities. So these families or this person need to come to the city, Bogota, Medellin, and not have other option that be in the street. So more common when I talk about Colombia, I'm gonna explain a little bit more. Okay. It's more common saw people that it's homeless because not have other option.
And as we were just talking about LGBTQ plus pride, I know in the U.S. a lot of homeless youth are teens that came out to their parents as gay, lesbian, trans, etc. And their parents kicked them out of the house. Like, you're not a child of mine. Like, you can't, you know, not being able to accept their child because of a different sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. And I know, I don't know exactly what the statistics are right now, but I know in the U.S. at least, and I'm sure this happens in other parts of the world as well, a lot of the homeless teens or homeless youth are because their families kicked them out. Or similar for pregnant teens. So a girl who gets pregnant at a young age and their parents, you know, you're a disgrace to the family, or you have to be out on your own, and leaving people in those situations.
Yeah.
True. I'm going to be quick about this, otherwise everyone else won't be able to speak. Okay. The other one I have is homeless people deserve to be homeless. No human being deserves to be homeless. Shelter is a basic need for humans. Other biological requirements for human survival include air, water, food, clothing, warmth, and sleep. If these needs are not satisfied, the human body cannot function optimally. And then the other one is homeless people are lazy. Many people who are experiencing homelessness are in a situation as a result of experiences outside of their control. Like Hannah, you were just saying about the teens in the community. Mm-hmm. People experiencing homelessness are not lazy. Or they just don't want to work. Rather, they need to get help and services and have their basic needs met. So these are some of the stereotypes that I had to share with our lovely audience. And now we're going to go to a song break and we'll be right back with you.
Como el árbol ya sin hojas, así está mi corazón. Pero no vuelvas, no, no, ya no. Estoy aprendiendo a sanarme y a mejorar mi vida hoy. Porque te has ido ya hace tiempo. Ahora te vas y así lo entiendo. Porque te has ido ya hace tiempo. Ahora te vas y así lo entiendo. De aquel amor, pues ya no sufro, no, por lo que fue,
aquí vivo en mi presente, y así me quedaré, porque te has ido ya hace tiempo. Ahora te vas, y así lo entiendo, porque te has ido ya hace tiempo. Ahora te vas, y así lo entiendo.
Okay, we are listening Dread Marai. His name is Mariano Javier Castro. He born in Cuequén, Buenos Aires, in Argentina. Mm-hmm. Her artist name is Dread Marai. He is a singer of reggae rock, reggae in Spanish, ska and pop. He have like the most known song is Tusin Me, that is one of the most listened to Argentine rock song on YouTube, and he trying to do like a remake of a vallenato song that is Hoja en Blanco, so it's other song that he have so famous. I brought here to Mirror Voices because I like so much. And I guess it's more important that this guy is more known for more people.
I've never heard of his artist before, but I always love the kind of like fusion,
yeah,
like combining so many different genres of music together.
Yeah. And I guess a lot of his song, it's like in that way, like trying to combine a lot of rhythms and genre, and I guess it's amazing.
Amazing what other people can do with the art of music.
Yeah.
Amazing. Mariana, what do you have for us today?
Well, I'm going to talk about more about the homeless here in Colombia.
Mm.
Actually, like 2 years ago, appeared a video that the university that we disclosed here, not the Catholic University, other one that is La Cooperativa de Colombia.
Okay.
One of the guy, the student, be playing the piano, mm-hmm. and be like a homeless appear, and he said like, I can play. And the student said yes, and was a famous salsa artist,
okay.
that be obviously from here, from Colombia, and he explained that he have a lot of money, but obviously he have a lot of problems like depressed and all these things, and finally he be in the streets.
Mm-hmm.
So not all the people that be homeless, it's like a people that don't have the opportunity, because that's something that that a lot of people believe, like the homeless obviously it's more common with the drugs, but mm-hmm. it's like a lot of people believe that these homeless don't have, like, they don't wanna work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't wanna try to change their life. And that's not something easy to do, because here we know that we have a lot of violence in the country,
mm-hmm.
and like about 34% people in Colombia live in poor conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously here not a lot of people have the opportunity to have a home. That actually is a right here and in all world. But
mm-hmm.
obviously for more than 50 years, we have problem with the internal conflict. So a lot of people not have the opportunity to stay in the town that they live. I need to come to the city, but it's so difficult because actually the city is so big.
Mm-hmm.
And when Bogota create, there's like these people not believe that Bogota is going to be like with a lot of people that we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we have the problem with the Venezuela people. So, it's, like, difficult trying to a lot of people understand what is the situation, because for a lot of years we have like different points that they, a lot of homeless be there. That first one is a cartucho, the other one was El Bronx, that it's more now right now, and other one it's San Bernardo, that it's like place that you can found like like a big house, mm-hmm. and you need to pay every day mm-hmm. that you can stay there. Obviously, mm-hmm. we the name is Paga Diario, mm-hmm. so you need to pay like 25,000, 25,000 pesos colombianos to mm-hmm. stay there. If not, you need to go out.
That's
so
terrible.
It's difficult for a lot of people not be homeless because they don't have other opportunity. And there's like a lot of situation that you can saw, like down of the bridge, mm-hmm. people live there mm-hmm. because they don't have other option to live in anywhere, because they don't have like the opportunity to pay paga diario. So you can find in a lot of bridge down like that, like a small house, because there's not option. Actually, in a TikTok appear that a homeless live like close to, I don't know if you saw 26, mm-hmm. the street. I don't know how do you say alcantarilla.
Like sewer?
Yeah, something like that.
Like in the water system?
Yeah, okay. So he opened and he lived there with the husband.
Oh.
Because they don't have all their right. opportunity. They don't have more option. So, obviously, there's a lot of people trying to help. Actually, yesterday, a guy published a video that with different organization, they cook in the morning and give food for these people, like more than 1,000 people give that money. And in the mm-hmm. morning, these people receive help to, like clean a little bit, obviously not go to like take a shower mm-hmm. because obviously it's difficult. But when the Bronx finish, the mayor have the idea to the people that wanna have like a better life and go out to the drugs, they can go and have the opportunity to go to hospital to take a shower. Obviously there's a lot of people that say no because it's so difficult going out to the drugs. But there's other people that accept that and have the opportunity, and that people that accept the opportunity, it's like trying to convince other people that live in the street, like maybe you have other opportunity, but more all these people not have because it's so difficult, like found a job, mm-hmm. because like a normal young boy or girl is trying to find a job and it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
It's more difficult for a person that not have the same opportunity that we have.
True.
Because obviously we have a house, we have the opportunity to have to go to a hospital. These people not have the opportunity because all the people in the street, it's like judging all the time.
Mm. Right, it's hard to go to a job interview if you don't have access to a shower and clean clothes.
True.
Actually, this morning was like a young guy, obviously homeless, that go inside, and the woman that be the next was like all the moment like be she's gonna get sick, and she mm-hmm. was like so dramatic, was like, but he's there, he's not mm-hmm. doing anything
mm-hmm.
and it was I guess a one stop that the guy go out, and in the travel he's like sick, and one woman give a bottle of water
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people is looking like why is she doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why not? If you have the opportunity to mm-hmm. You have all water all day and all day of your life, why you can help a guy that don't have that opportunity? Mm-hmm. So it's a difficult situation.
Really
I guess you can, well, here it's like, I have more information obviously about Bogota because it's my city, mm-hmm. but I know this happened in all Colombia.
I just have this fear considering how, like,
that we sometimes have harsh weather conditions. Mm-hmm. It's Bogota. It rains almost every day. And I can imagine someone living in the street in such conditions where it's raining, you don't have any way of warming yourself, and you also have to eat and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's like some situation sometimes, because you can see the policeman waking up the homeless, and it's like moving, and they just sleeping in the street. So sometimes it's difficult, like, trying to say something, because you are going to have problem with the police, so it's like, oh my God, it's like something awful.
Terrible. Thank you so much, Mariana, for sharing.
We can go to another song, the song that Mariana mentioned, Hoja en Blanco. And then we'll come back, and I'll continue talking about this idea of, like, criminalizing or policing homelessness.
Okay.
Fue imposible olvidar que algún día yo te quise. Tanto tiempo pasó desde el día que te fuiste. Y allí supe que las despedidas son muy tristes. Nunca me imaginé que un tren se llevara en su viaje aquellas ilusiones que de niños nos juramos. Todos tus sentimientos los guardaste en tu equipaje. Quisiste consolarme y me dijiste yo te amo. Desde entonces no supe qué sería de tu vida. Desde entonces no supe si algún día regresabas. Los amigos del pueblo preguntaron si volvías. Llorando di la espalda, no les pude decir nada. Ayer que regresé a mi pueblo, alguien me dijo que ya te casaste. Mírame y dime si ya me olvidaste. Me marcharé con los ojos aguados. Después me pregunté a la luna, me dio la espalda e intentó ocultarse. Hasta la luna sabe que me amaste. Hasta la luna sabe que aún me amas. Y buena abuela, por otro rumbo, ve y sueña que el mundo es tuyo. Tú ya no puedes volar conmigo, aunque mis sueños serán contigo.
And we are back here on Mirrored Voices talking about homelessness today. I think to continue a little bit about a point that Mariana finished off on, of like policing homelessness or policing or criminalizing homeless people or people living on the streets. And that is something that has been a topic in my home country, in the Supreme Court recently. I think it's obviously uncomfortable when you see a lot of people living on the streets in your community. And I can understand people's perspective of like wanting to, you know, clean up the streets and, you know, for safety, for, you know, children and, you know, even aesthetics, whatever. I think it is important to remember that it's, you know, infinitely more uncomfortable for the people living in those situations. So as uncomfortable as you feel walking past someone living on the street, it is obviously way more uncomfortable to be the person living on the street.
True.
But I think a lot of times our society lacks that empathy.
Mm-hmm.
And as we also mentioned in this program already, of like seeing people who live on the street as less than human or less than, you know, that dignity of treating them like dogs or treating them like children, even if they're adults, or treating them, you know, as someone not as valuable or not as dignified because of a situation that they may not have any control over. And so that kind of lack of empathy also leads to a lot of so-called solutions that really aren't solutions. Even with good intentions, even the good intentions of like a shelter to provide a bed for the night, or giving some of your spare change to someone on the street, or, you know, giving some extra food or buying a meal for someone. Those are nice things to do, and can be life-saving in the moment. They don't address the cause of homelessness. They don't help that person tomorrow. It's kind of meeting a basic need, which is very important. It is very important to have food right now and to have a bed to sleep in tonight. But these are obviously things that don't address
the
long-term. And then there are things that are not compassionate, not as compassionate, that are still trying to get rid of a problem without addressing the roots. This can be in very subtle ways. So things like designing park benches or bus benches with dividers so that someone can't lie down. Or, you know, there are kind of, if you start to look in cities especially, some of the architecture, some of the design is made so that someone can't sleep there. It's made so that someone can't kind of set up their little bed or something. Those are kind of subtle ways of like, you're not welcome here. You have to get out. But there are obviously more extreme things like criminalizing homelessness. So the U.S. Supreme Court is on quite a bend lately. There's been a lot of challenging, interesting, infuriating, I don't know, pick the adjective, cases that have come out recently. One of them is about this topic on homelessness. So there was a case in Grants Pass, which is in Oregon, which is a state, that banned sleeping outdoors or camping in public spaces like sidewalks, streets, and parks. And this kind of opens the pathway for a lot of other states and cities to implement similar laws. So Justice Gorsuch said that it's not meant to target homeless people, just that people can't sleep or camp out in public. Realistically, who is most likely to sleep or camp out in public? People that don't have a choice to do otherwise. But they're kind of, no, this isn't discriminating against homeless people. This is just, you know, upholding a local law that says it's, you know, illegal to camp or sleep in public spaces. So that gets, you know, they say it's not discriminating against homeless people, but obviously that would be the biggest group of people affected.
I
heard this notice, also thought about protesters. So big protests like Occupy Wall Street or like the students at Columbia University in New York City, who set up camps, like literally taking tents and camping out as a form of protest. So this, I can also kind of see how this case could be used as a way of not taking away your right to protest, but you can't protest like that. You can't do this or that because that part is illegal. Kind of slippery slope kind of thing. Justice Sotomayor, who was one of the dissenting judges, so the people that did not agree with this case, wrote, "Sleep is a biological necessity, not a crime. For some people, sleeping outside is their only option." Mm-hmm. And she says that this case leaves people with two options, stay awake or get arrested. Because obviously you need to sleep. And if you don't have a place to sleep, then you're probably going to fall asleep on the street or, you know, try to set up some sort of shelter for yourself, and that can be illegal in some cities now. This local law imposes fines and potential jail time for people sleeping in public or in their cars at any time. So, again, if you're experiencing poverty or without a home, then paying fines or spending time in jail will only worsen your situation and make it harder for you to get out of that situation. Harder to get a stable job or to find permanent housing if you are also paying large fines or if you spend time in jail or you lose a job that you may have had. Previously, penalizing someone for sleeping outdoors if no shelter beds were available was declared cruel and unusual punishment, which would be unconstitutional. That's why this case from Grants Pass, Oregon, reached the Supreme Court, who now overturned that previous interpretation of cruel and unusual punishment, which is also a theme we're seeing lately with the Supreme Court of kind of, you know, this is the established interpretation of the law, and now, nope, that's no longer valid. We're going to interpret a different way now to take away people's rights. And what's interesting here and what can be confusing is the wording of, like, if no shelter beds are available. So that leads another question of shelters. So in the example of Grants Pass, which is where this case started, the only homeless shelter in the area was run by a religious organization that required people to attend church services in order to access those beds. Which is also like, well, that doesn't seem very constitutional either, because you're kind of saying only Christians allowed or only people who will join our church services can have access to these beds. Discriminating against people of other religions or people that don't, for whatever reason, may not want to join your church. Many cities that have shelter beds may not have enough for the population of homeless people in their city, which has been growing in the U.S. Or if they do, some of the shelters, similar to this one in Grants Pass, have restrictions or requirements. So something like restricting pets, drugs, alcohol, things that you could say, if you're running a shelter, I can understand the reasoning, but also someone who's in that situation has to make some tough decisions. I think addiction is a disease, and it's not necessarily so easy for someone to just stop drinking or to stop using drugs. If they're addicted and relying on it, it's a lot harder to do than just, you know, saying you should stop. Like, they probably know that they should stop, but may not be able to. And so it gets harder and harder for people living on the streets. And again, these can have many causes. So, like, natural disasters. We're seeing, for example, in, you know, conflict zones of people that have to leave their homes because it's not safe, and then you don't have anywhere to go. You may end up camping out on the street in a different city. Or, you know, if your house catches fire or there's an unexpected medical emergency and you have to pay a bunch of medical bills and now your landlord is kicking you out because you can't pay rent. Or domestic violence. There are women who, you know, I know I may end up being on the street, but I need to get me and my children out of this house for our own safety. So there are a lot of situations, mental health, Addiction can also be one of those things. But a lot of things that are hard to control and hard to predict. So people who never thought that they would be in this situation find themselves in that situation. And then it doesn't help that you have local governments saying, nope, it's illegal to for you to sleep here.
Oh my God.
And then you're in even more trouble.
Yeah, and I guess there's a lot of immigrants that don't have other option that stay in the street, because there's a lot of Latin person that go through La Selva del Darién and obviously arrive to USA and don't have other option, because it's like the first moment that be there and don't have other option to stay in the street and have kids and have family. So I guess it's so difficult, like, listen that not.
So I don't really have, like, a happy ending for that.
No, I guess not.
I think the advice is to remember, as uncomfortable as you are seeing people homeless on the streets, remember that it is a person who is feeling even more uncomfortable and in their situation. And I think to not take away their dignity as a person.
True, especially the part where there's a possibility that they're going to be deprived of sleep. Because if you sleep in the street, you most likely get arrested. And I'm thinking, you're going to end up with criminals, like real criminals, and your only crime is you just
sleeping.
Wanted to sleep.
Yeah, just your biological necessity to sleep.
I know, it's so terrible. Even the, like, the part where their shelters, where they say that they have, like, conditions for accepting people. For example, if they're saying no pets allowed, I have a pet. It's like my, what do they call it, like, emotional support animal, where probably that pet is the reason why I'm not using drugs right now, why I'm still sane, why I still have an ounce of hope that everything's going to be okay. And then you told me I cannot get into the shelter because I have a pet. That's terrible.
It's sad. Listen that.
It's a sad, sad situation. Well, thank you so much, Hannah, for sharing. That was an eye-opener, which was sad. Very sad. We're going to have a song break, or are we going to say our goodbyes?
I think we can say our goodbyes and then end with the last song, because we're quickly running out of time today.
Oh, no.
Thank you for all the people that listen us today. I guess thank you, Diego, that he listened.
Yay,
and
you,
all
Diego.
The people that listen us today. We listen the other week. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you, everybody.
You so much,
tune in next week. And have a great rest of your week.
Siéntate conmigo aquí, siéntate, te quiero hablar. Es claro lo que pasó, es que te dejé de amar. Mucho tiempo sin saber qué es lo que querías vos, pero yo sabía en mí qué es lo que quería yo. Nada, nada volverá a ser lo que fue. Sin saber cuánto tiempo más para entender que esto fallé. Mucho tiempo te esperé y sigo sentado aquí. Pasa el tiempo y mi canción ya no suena como ayer. Marchitándome estoy. Si sigo pensando así, si detengo el corazón por lo que ya yo te di. Nada, nada volverá a ser lo que fue. Pura silencio.
más para entender que esto fue.
Thank you.